And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt Leach at the helm. 734-998-1050. 734-998-1050. What was your weekend about? What was the glow? Was it the hockey team? Did you get into the basketball scene and then the hockey team rolled you up? I mean, what was it? I'm just going to tell you what. I was just proud of how they played against Florida State. Like I said, I was nervous with Texas A&M. I don't know why. When they brought their jump shot to the gym that day. I mean, woo, that was kind of hot. And I was like, wow, okay, bye-bye. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, you know. And then that hockey team, I watched that game. That was like the cherry on top. Feeling good. I mean, you know, feeling good about what was going on. Looking at everything. Baseball swept Michigan State. I'm like, wow. Well, this has been a week.
Well, J-Mo, not only swept, I mean, the first game was 12-3. Oof. We were up 6-0. They scored 3 in the eighth. And I was sitting here getting ready to work some stuff afterward thinking, uh-huh. Oh, man, are we going to maybe have some extra innings, maybe
sure,
a little delay?
Right.
And then the Wolverines come back and put another 6-6 on them in the bottom of the eighth inning to make that one 12-3. The second game was a little closer up in East Lansing. We ended up only winning that game 3-1. But then the final game here on Sunday put it on them 11-0. So not only swept those Spartans here in baseball this weekend, man, we put it on them.
It's like I said, you know, it was a great weekend, but you got to be proud of the basketball team, the way they're playing, they're going up. Like I said, Florida State looked like a bunch of grown men out there, boy, going against some kids. I mean, honestly, some young men that, you know, you put out there, but their basketball prowess and their basketball IQ, they played as a team. And they got it done. They passed the ball in and inside and outside, moved it around. Like I said, it's what I was saying to David Merritt. Coach Beilein got very boisterous. You could see him making calls on the sidelines and telling players where to go, move over on the other side of the floor. I mean, it was kind of, I was like, wow, okay. Coach Beilein really throwing it out there.
Well, usually you can trust, you know, I would imagine he trusts Xavier or trusts Rockman or some of those guys out there that, hey, they've been through it. They know what to do. I trust those guys out there. But with the trip to the Alamo on the line, a trip to that Final Four, Coach Beilein said, I got to make sure step in, make sure we're running the right plays over here. Make sure guys are in the right spots. Guys, listen to the big dog. Just for a minute. Just for a minute. Most games, I trust you. But with the trip to the Alamo on the line, I got to make sure you guys are doing the right thing.
Right. Most games, he just yells out the play and they run, they execute the play. But it seemed like he wanted to move things a little bit more around because Florida State was reacting to what they were running. And I'm sure they watched the film and they saw some things that clued them. Okay, they're getting ready to run this play, or they're trying to get him over here, get this player over here, and they want to shoot a three, or they're trying to get down the Wagner. And, you know, after a while, you get used to those plays. So, yeah. Okay, so, all right. We're going to talk about the controversial play, okay? Leonard Hamilton, the coach from Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the thing. Did you not see what happened? You give me that face.
I have no idea what you're talking
okay.
about. The controversial play.
So, Florida State, there's 11 seconds left in the game. They shoot a three, and the ball gets tipped, and then Duncan Robinson retrieves the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State doesn't try to foul at anything. I'm saying there's 11 seconds left, and you're down by 4. It doesn't matter that Duncan Robinson is the best free throw shooter on your team. You do a foul. So at the end of the game and at the conclusion of the game, Dana Jacobson, a Michigan alumnus, she has the privilege of interviewing Coach Hamilton after that game. Which, you know, it was a battle, and, you know, he trusts his team, he loves his team, and everything like that. She proceeds to ask him, why not foul on that play? Did you not see this interview?
I think I was still running around the room screaming my head off. So no, I did not. Okay. No, I didn't happen to catch it.
I want you after we go to break, I want you to take a look at it. But she proceeds to ask him, why not foul? And, you know, in the first, she gave him the softball, coach. I know you're feeling bad. What did you tell the team inside that? And he says, I told them they did a great job and everything like that, and that, you know, they played hard for Florida State. That's nice, right? And then she hit him with the tough one. Why not foul? And he got, you had to see the facial expression and everything like that. He almost walked away. He was so upset. Now, I agree with the questioning. I agree with what she did. She asked the question. Why not foul? He got upset and almost walked away. Now, he said, do you think that was the play that made us lose this game? And she said, I'm asking questions because this is what they talked about on TV. So I have to ask you that question. Now, to his chagrin, he had to answer the question. He had to catch himself. And I'm thinking somebody asked him to stay. Okay. Now, he had to defend his team. So he, I'm not going to say eloquently, he got through the question and he got through it saying, you know, we didn't foul. We tried our hardest to do the game and everything like that. And the game was over. He said the game was over. Now, again, there was 11 seconds left, Matt. You know as well as I do, if your team's down by four with 11 seconds to go, you foul that player. You put him at the line. You make him make you. He's shooting two, but you make him. We saw this before. We lived this against Houston. I'm just saying, they could ice the game with that young man against Houston for us, right? And you saw what happened. So when she asked that question, he was taken aback. Now, do you, and I'm throwing this out to the listeners, do you think he was right in his reaction because he was emotionally drawn and he wanted to walk away and he was defending his players? Now, for his players, they probably love him for doing that and everything. He defended them. For a reporter, just doing your job, asking the questions that everybody's going to ask anyway. She was probably the first one to ask. She probably was. But his reaction was crazy.
I've got it queued up. I'll watch it here over our next break. But yeah, she might have been the first one to ask him that. But you got to figure, I'm surprised that wasn't the first question out of anybody's mouth.
But to him, he didn't even think about it. He didn't even think that was going to be asked of him. He didn't even think it was a legitimate question. He questioned her. Why she was asking that question of him. So that being said, he needed to gather himself, give himself a chance to think about it. And maybe you should give a coach a chance to gather themselves. You can't just pull them out of anywhere and say, okay, Coach, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. No, you want to get that raw feeling. And that's what CBS is trying to do. They want March Madness. And that's what they were doing. Let's go to Bill in Ann Arbor. Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, I think that the reporter was totally lame in asking that question. Because, first of all, yeah, I counted 9 seconds, but all right, 11 seconds. And then Robinson, who's a 90% free shooter at the line, you know, it's like you had a 0.001% chance of pulling that off. And I just think for them, for those knuckleheads back at CBS Central to sit there and second guess the coach is totally punk. I thought it was just really bad taste.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the call. Well, I mean, Matt, some people are going to say that. I mean, you're going to ask a coach that, and Duncan Robinson is a 90-something percent free throw shooter, 93%, 94%, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why foul him?
Well, he has in this year, as great of a free throw shooter he is, he has missed back-to-back free throws. He has gone 0 for 2 at the line at certain times throughout the year. And again, it's just, even if you think it might be, again, we've seen so much craziness, so much madness happen during the tournament that I can't fathom it, but why wouldn't you at least give yourself a chance? It doesn't hurt you to do it. Oh, it extends the game for another 2 minutes, so we have to watch the last few other things play out, but how does it hurt you by doing that?
No, you're right. And my thing was is that now, why, and like Bill pointed out, why do you ask that question? The CBS wants to get that reaction, but that's a question everybody's asking themselves, though, right?
Literally every person in America, if you were watching that game, which of course I was, you were, J-Mo,
right?
I think everybody was asking, why are you not fouling? So, yeah. To me, that's going to be, if it wasn't her who said it, that's going to be the question out of somebody's going to certainly ask him that. He was not going to make it through the post-game interview without getting asked that question. It was bound to happen.
734-998-1050. What do you think? Let's go to Dave in Northville. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Dave?
So I agree with Bill, the previous caller. If you kind of play the whole situation out, best case scenario, Duncan Robinson gets fouled. There's 10 seconds left. Well, people don't realize their college rules are different than the NBA. Florida State had no timeouts left, so highly unlikely. Duncan Robinson, he misses both free throws. The clock starts right away. At that point, it's a four-point game. They got to get a realistic shot off. And by the time it goes down, there's going to be 2-3 seconds left. Michigan's still going to have the ball with timeouts to inbound. It would have been impossible for that to have happened the right way for them to have come back. I don't have any problem with him not fouling.
So Dave, you think you don't think that Duncan Robinson could possibly, you know, feel the pressure and he could miss two free throws? I don't care if you got 9 seconds. You got 9 seconds to get down yeah. the court and hit a 3-pointer. That'll put you down one, right?
I'm saying even if I'm agreeing, even if he does succumb to the pressure, and let's say he misses both free throws, the clock starts as soon as he misses that free throw. And for Florida State to get the ball down to get a realistic shot at a 2 or a 3-pointer, now that's going to take, you know, 7 or 8 seconds at least to get a realistic shot like that. And assuming that they make it, they're still down a point with 1 or 2 seconds left.
Dave, it would be close, but imagine Duncan misses both of those. They get the rebound. Any quick guard can get down the court in 3 seconds. So 3 seconds, you get the shot up. That's another 4 seconds. Michigan's inbounding the ball with, say, even if it's just 3 seconds left, imagine we turn the ball over. They get a shot. They get a steal, and they get a shot to win the game. It at least gives your team the chance.
I mean,
think about the Michigan play against Houston, though.
Yeah, you had 3.6.
I mean, you couldn't do it much faster than that, and that was when you're inbounding the ball. I'm talking Duncan Robinson misses the free throw. You don't have momentum of a guard running down the court and moving towards the other side of the basket. I'm saying best-case scenario when you're starting like that, when you just get a rebound, I can't think of a scenario where it's going to take less than 7 or 8 seconds.
So do you think she was wrong in asking that question?
No, I don't think she was wrong in asking that question, but I think his response was justifiable.
So you're okay with his response to her?
I am.
Okay. Thanks for the phone call, Dave. Appreciate that. 734-998-1050. Let's go down to Brock in West Bloomfield. Hey, Brock, what's up, man?
What up, J-Mo?
What you thinking, man?
When I call here Monday,
yeah,
that we would be talking about them Wolverines in the Final Four. You told me! No, Brock, don't do it. And I told you, it ain't no such thing as a jinx, James. Only execution, baby.
You're
and
right.
They executed like your boy Coach Don told you. And really, I'm going to still give Coach Don props because Michigan missed a lot of shots in that game.
They did.
Like a lot of open
shot.
Shots.
Yeah.
I mean, Mo Wagner had to miss at least 5 of those 3-pointers was wide open 3-pointers.
Dude, if he hits half of what he shot, oh, we'd be up. We would have been up.
Yeah, we running them out the gym. But that defense is treacherous. And J-Mo, we will be playing next Monday. Sister Jean is a good feel good story. But like Granny told her last night, go blue. She told her her run is over. I don't know if that's Jalen's grandma or not, but she told her, your
that's
run
what
is
they
over.
Said. It's Jalen's
grandma. It was Jalen's grandma.
It's Jalen's grandma. So, hey, I'm okay with that. It's time. Hey, Brock, it's time for Cinderella to go home, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, the clock struck midnight on the movie, and it's going to strike midnight at 6:09. Because really, J-Mon, I'm not being funny. You know what they would say a team of, like, about Chicago Loyola? Oh, they're like a poor man's version of U of M.
Yeah.
So when you're the poor man's version, now you playing the original man. They play the same kind of style we play.
Right.
But they don't have the players that we have. And I'm not saying, I mean, and honestly, J-Mon, we got to get Charles Matthews is playing like a killer right now.
Isn't he? He's balling. He's balling. Got, hey, he deserves the MOP.
Oh, yeah.
He does.
And this is just another example of a player. I mean, what, 6 weeks ago, everybody told Cash and I, like, maybe Charles Matthews isn't as good as we thought he was. You know, he had been struggling through January, early February.
I just thought they balled up on him. I thought other teams, they took their best defenders and they put him on him because he was.
I think the scouting report kind of got on him a little bit, Jay.
I agree.
He don't like to go to the left.
Right.
If you force him to go to his left, you can shut him down. But Coach
Don.
B-line, Coach B-line worked with him on that. So what he does now is if they force him to go left, he'll go left, but he has a little turnaround jumper that he does off his pivot foot. So, I mean, it's been a beautiful thing.
He's played great. I mean, yeah.
Yep.
Sometimes he single-handedly kept us alive in some you know, during the non-shooting segments of the game.
And really, J-Mo, when you really think about it, I mean, and this is a testament to the team and the mentality. Really, we've only played one good game in this tournament as far as, and I'm just talking about offensively.
Well,
and,
total and game.
In the Final Four?
Right.
Yeah, total game was against Texas A&M. But I think that they're going to come out and do their thing. I mean, we could talk about scouting reports later, but I'm very excited. I think this is a golden opportunity. And I'll be honest with you, J-Mo, I will say on the other side of that bracket, the team that scares me is Villanova.
No, I agree with you. No, we're on the same page. I want Kansas.
I want Kansas.
I'm not going to lie to you. I have become a Jayhawk fan. Even though it blows up my bracket. Hey, Rock Chalk. Exactly. Rock Chalk.
Hey, real quick with the Dana Jacobson before I go, J-Mo.
Yeah.
Was
Leonard wrong?
You're a Division One coach.
Right.
You're a Division One coach making millions of dollars.
Yep.
You're going to be second guess. You got to stand there and answer the questions. I didn't have no problem with the question. I mean, and my thing is this. Who was calling the game, J-Mo? Reggie Miller, right?
Yep.
We remember what Reggie Miller did with about 7 seconds left.
I mean, that's a great point. That is a great point.
Push Greg Anthony. He didn't get called for that foul either, did he? Right? Nope. Hey, you never know, because it was time that they put pressure on the ball that they almost got steals in that game.
No, you're right.
So the game ain't over until it's over.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, I'm not gonna say they quit because they gave good effort, but hey, I'm gonna try until the clock says 000.
All right.
So that's
gotta go, Brock.
All right, J-Mo.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. 734-988-1050. Let's go to Jim in Dexter. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Well, I just wanted to respond to the coaching question. I think he was manifestly embarrassed and defensive because he made a horrific judgment by not following. It was so obvious to anyone who has a minimal understanding of basketball and who's ever witnessed a surprise comeback with even 5 seconds remaining.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I felt embarrassed for him. He's obviously a really good guy, a good coach, but he had no answer. And his discomfort and defensiveness.
Oh, he got mad.
Yes, but he did get mad. And he handled the interview as poorly as he handled the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's indisputable.
Do you think, Jim, it's because he didn't have a timeout to call so he could tell them the foul? Or he
did? Only if I got into his mind would I know why.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would know is that a junior high coach would have made a decision to foul. We have seen so many situations where 3 or 4 seconds left on a clock, the guy misses Robinson misses two shots, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got, maybe 9 seconds left on the clock. You call a timeout, a long pass, a three-pointer where you're fouled, and you make the foul shot, and the game is tied.
Oof, I didn't even think about that.
5 seconds left on the clock.
Right.
I mean, I don't know basketball, but I know that much. And I think, I felt bad for him. And, of course, the question, it would have been absurd.
For her not to answer.
For her not to ask that question. It would have been absurd. She should have been fired if she didn't ask that question. Because it's just so obvious to everyone, anyone who knows any basketball. So, coaches make mistakes. And that was one that is just so obvious and sad in a certain way. Sad for him. I mean, it's great for Michigan. I'm a Michigan grad, so I'm glad with the outcome.
It wasn't so bad for us U of M fans, letting them just let that last 11 seconds go. It made me feel a whole lot better.
Go ahead, Jim.
It was bizarre. So I felt bad for him. I don't know how anyone could possibly. Your one caller said it would have been impossible. Well, he's never watched basketball.
At least not a lot in March.
I agree.
It's impossible. To say it's impossible would say it has never happened in the past and therefore would never happen in the future. It has happened in the past.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
It's happened numerous times.
Yeah, agreed.
Particularly with 18, 19-year-old kids.
Well, with the amount of time they had left on the clock and they foul at that time, I mean, yeah, you got an eternity.
It gives you a chance. And even though, yes, Duncan is a good free throw shooter,
Thanks for the phone call, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jim. You never know with what kind of that kind of pressure can put on a kid in that moment.
Right. No. And I tried to defend him in the way that he's a coach. He's emotional. He loves his players. They took him to the Elite Eight. I mean, he's playing Michigan. It was a tough loss, and they had this game, and they let it get away. They shot ill-advised shots. They didn't take advantage of their opportunity. So that's the way I took it, him being angry at Dana Jacobson. I don't think he was angry at Dana personally, but for you to ask me that question, how dare you? And he was upset about it. And he wanted, you have, Matt, when we go to the break, you take a look at it. But his whole demeanor went elsewhere. And you could see him almost walk away from her and just leave. Go back into the locker room. It was just funny. 734, we're going to take this last call before we go to break. We go to Dave in Ann Arbor. Hey, Dave.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, here's the point. Nobody said 70% of the money bet on that game in Vegas was for Michigan. By not calling that timeout, Michigan won by 4, so all the Michigan money is lost, and all the Florida State money is won because Michigan didn't cover the spread of 4.5. And I think that's why he might have been a little upset about it.
Wow.
I didn't even think about that, Dave.
I get your point.
If he makes one free throw, all the Michigan money wins and all the Florida State money, including his buddies, lose. But by that, they didn't cover the spread, so he gets his revenge in the end. So, all his buddies win and all the Michigan money loses.
So you're thinking it's a little inside.
I think that's why he got upset about it.
Hey, something that, JMO, because you and I are not big gamblers, we don't think too much about it. But, hey, obviously, like he said, man, there are a lot of people out there who do, especially when it comes to this March Madness.
Well, speaking of madness, just want to let everybody know it's March, and You know what that means. That means the weather is warmer and the daylights are longer. And at Suburban Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, there's a spring sale going on. You can get savings at great time at this time of the year. And check out the vehicles they have, like the 2018 Wrangler Sports 4-door. $219 per month, that's sign and drive. Or the 2018 Jeep Compass Latitude. $219 a month, that's sign and drive. And why not? If you're a truck person, and I know a lot of you are, if you're a truck person, the 2018 Dodge Ram Crew Express. 4x4. $241 a month, and hey, you can get around when you can. So go on down to see Robert Betch and his sales crew. No hustle, no hassle, no mess. They're going to tell you what you need to hear, put you in the right vehicle at 3900 Jackson Road. Excuse me, 3900 Jackson Road. You're listening to.